Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So do you want to know something crazy?
Of course I do.
I mean, you know it. I mean, you, the general you.
I want to know it too again. Tell me.
So we woke up this morning on April 2nd.
After a gorgeous day of like 65 degrees yesterday.
Beautiful.
Stunning.
To snow. Just like a lot of snow.
Snow much. Snow. Oh, I didn't
snow
even
much,
that.
So
snow
much.
Snow much so.
Like on more than honestly like the nor'easters that have been coming.
Yeah, more than some of the times we've had work canceled. Or not for me, but more than the times like people have had work canceled.
Yeah.
It was a lot, although it turned into a lovely day by the end of the day, and I did take a 53-block walk.
You did. That's so good for you. I rode a bike and died.
A bike and died.
I rode a bike inside. I didn't die. And I played a little April Fool's joke. I changed all the torque names to the instructor's name.
Oh, that's so
with
good.
With, like, different emojis. So really when they well ran done. A race, the torque board just said, Kyle. 7 times with like a heart or a winky face or
that's really funny. I bet everyone loved that. So last wait. Time yeah
sorry
no don't no. You ever apologize to me. Wait, where is that?
That's on the corner.
Oh yeah,
so that's at 11:26 and this no is
oh yeah, Brooke just showed me two photos of the same corner, like 4 hours apart, completely covered in snow and then completely bare.
Okay, but the thing I want to tell you.
Yes.
Is, do you see this? I'm showing Bridget a picture that I took today.
This is definitely the medium for sharing photos.
No. This it's just I need to show you the like so you can help just okay. like validate my story.
Okay.
So it was like snowy. It's like the side of a building.
Uh-huh.
And there's snow on the ground and then there's like a pipe that yep, goes
like
into
a big
the building
pipe, yeah.
And it's like do you see how it's down mm-hmm. and it's open?
Okay. I do, yes.
So I was walking and I saw
it's like an exhaust pipe.
Yes. And I saw a street cat walking in the little courtyard and I was like, oh my god, a street cat, because if I don't know if you know this about me, but I love street cats.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, what a little jellicle cat. And then it jumped up into the pipe.
Whoa.
Which made it, I was like, this is the beginning of Cats.
Honestly.
Like, that looks like something from
it
the
does.
Set of Cats.
Yeah, that they would climb in and out of.
And I was.
And I haven't even fucking seen it on Broadway, and I know that.
Well, it is no longer on Broadway, so even if you wanted to, you can't.
I did not see it on Broadway.
Oh, I saw
we,
it.
We, oh, I, oh.
Only twice.
So
only
do
twice.
We know? I yes. feel like you almost went for a third time, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But I didn't.
But you didn't. But you did go twice.
I did go twice. One time. I was forced. With
I
pleasure.
Mean, I mean, what is forcing you to go see Cats?
I don't know. My friend won the lottery and was like, you're coming with me. And I was like, I don't really want to go today. I don't need to see it again.
And then it was the best thing you'd ever done.
It was weird, yeah. It was the best thing I've ever done. Oh, look what Alex did. Put the books under the...
I know. They look really nice.
We have a lot of flowers.
So many beautiful bouquets.
It's bouquets.
Bouquets.
Bouquets. It's really lovely inside my apartment right now.
Yeah. It's been the coziest spot. I spent a weirdly large amount of time here last week while I should have been at work and wasn't, but...
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Sometimes you got to play hooky with Brookie.
That's right. We're sitting on Brooke's new couch right now recording and it's so nice. It's like an L and like a proper like adult, like she is on both on my side of the couch and another side of the couch at one time. It's amazing.
I'm happy about
she
it.
She is. She's moving all of her limbs.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke. Hi, everybody.
I wish you could see me right now.
She looks amazing.
I'm really cozy.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Splat, the podcast where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about
Sex and the City. 10 years younger.
20 years later.
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. I took it from you.
A dramatic pause, and I was going to go into a bit. And I realized I have to say it because if you don't say 10 years younger first. Yeah. Nope. No, that's right.
I did.
Did you see the panic flash in my eyes?
Yeah, but I also just stomped all over your line anyway and took it like it was mine.
It's okay. We are all on an adventure here together.
We are.
Where is...
Always and every day. What are you looking for?
Oh, no.
Did you lose the remote again?
I was sitting on it.
In all of your excitement about the L of the couch.
Yeah.
We lost the remote.
I got amped. So this episode is very good.
Yes.
However, we'll talk about the plausibility of it later.
And guys, it's the season finale.
And you guys, we're halfway done with Sex and the City.
Yeah, it's not technically in terms of episode numbers, but in terms of seasons, literally, we are halfway through it.
Yeah.
It's episode 18 of season 3.
And it's called Cock-a-Doodle-Doo.
Which is, of course, a beautifully evocative title.
Oh, but it is not only evocative of penis cocks, it is also invocative of
penis cocks. We love them.
Roosters. I love a good penis cock. I often hunt the wild penis cock in early March.
Here we see the elusive penis cock emerging from its cave after a winter of hibernation, rarely seen by human eyes. Yeah, anyway, I'm done with this bit. I'm tabling it.
Just put it on the table.
It's over there.
It's a good one, though.
Cock a doodle do.
Is how this episode starts.
As it should. I mean, the only way you could name an episode.
And it's 4:30 in the morning and Carrie is being woken up by literal roosters.
Somehow in New York City it's happening.
Which this plotline also happens in Friends because they have a rooster or a chicken and a duck. The chicken, the duck.
Oh, right.
And then they
find
out it's a rooster.
Carrie is baffled, as you would be.
Because why would you hear a rooster?
Like, if you live in New York, you're used to literally every other sound possible.
Isn't it interesting that a rooster crows, but a crow doesn't rooster?
You know, Brooke, you make me think so deeply all the time. I'm grateful for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just think about it.
Oh, I sure am. Rhode Island, neither a road or an island. Discuss. That's where you all come here for, is the... super, super hot discussion.
Wait, I got to feed my plant, Annie, and then we'll go forward.
Oh, yeah. As with earlier when you said that to me, I kept thinking you kept saying, I got to plead my... never mind. I got to feed my plant, Annie. And I was like...
Should I name her Annie?
Well, it does work. She means Plant Nanny, which is a great app where you keep track of how much you drink water. But I was really excited that you named a real plant Annie and we're going to feed her.
Well, now I'm going to name this plant Annie.
Amazing. Done. Casual musical theater reference. Yeah. Without even trying.
Look at his derp.
Oh, it's really cute.
It's called a chicken fern. So it's sort of applicable.
Wow, super relevant. Love it.
All right. Grow up. Oh, be careful not to drink too much water in one day. I don't understand.
You're doing so well.
I can't win.
No, they won't let you.
Why won't they let me win?
Because the world's out to get you, baby.
Honestly. You're not wrong.
And it also, I would put money on the fact that probably most of the people listening to this right now are having like crazy things happening in their life, because everyone I know is having enormous,
because Mercury's in fucking retrograde.
Yeah, but this time it is realer and
it's
deeper than
Aries is fucked.
I know, which I am. You're welcome.
Oh my god, thank you. That's why
it's all me.
Okay,
it's coming up.
So Carrie sees some roosters on the roof across the street.
It's like one of those, she's and up high and they're like on a lower roof so she can see them.
Really important. I let my frenzy for a rent controlled apartment near Barney's
override the fact that it was animal hospital adjacent.
So you
holy
guys,
shit.
We have the answer. She's living in a rent controlled apartment.
It's like, duh. But also, how the fuck did she get it? Because now I want to know. I want to know more about this backstory.
Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. Across town in the meatpacking district, which is, I'm sure Samantha can't sleep because there are.
A bunch of
trans.
Yeah, I guess the show refers to them as transvestites, which is not a word that would be used now,
anymore,
nor should it be.
Because they're pre-op transsexual hookers. They say transsexual.
They do, right. Transsexual. Sorry. Yes.
But they're like half man. They make a lot of jokes.
Terrible.
Of like half man, half woman, and how they're like the way they're speaking is that of a man, but because they still have penises.
But Carrie's narration says half man, half woman, totally annoying. the idea is a parallel between Carrie being woken up and
Samantha being woken up both by Cox.
Right, right. But there's a real big difference between animals and actual human beings. So they're laughing about this at brunch, of course.
And Samantha is, it's supposed to be funny because Samantha's like, have you ever heard anyone talk like this?
Like, isn't that the dirtiest thing you've ever heard? Which, how can Samantha be shocked by things?
Notice that Carrie is, in fact, wearing a flower pin. But it's flowers not, are... They're when she is open to love, yeah, I think. Yeah,
they're back.
And she looks beautiful.
She does. They all look, like, fresh and lovely. And it looks like it's warm weather, which I'm envious of. And Samantha's wearing a sweater with nothing under it.
And they're all, like, giggling about transsexuals, which is just not my favorite thing I've seen on the show.
No. In fact, it falls firmly into the category of this is why this episode would not ever fly in 2018.
No.
It's like a real moment of like, wow, this show was written at a different time. And a lot of casual slurs, a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation, a lot of all of that.
Yeah. And Charlotte like gets pouty.
Because she'd flown the coop and left Trey, her husband of just 3 months.
And she's like, I can't believe we're laughing and I'm just here and I just am separated and I'm single.
Charlotte is really fucking bummed, understandably, but they're like, you left for a real reason. And like, he's also, Trey has a problem.
Yeah. And also Charlotte's like, I'll never be single again. I'll be divorced. And she thinks she's thinking about Trey and she's talking about Trey.
And she's like, just talk about all that up my ass stuff. Meaning go back to distracting me with dirty talk. And Miranda does a cute like Sunday night. We're going to come over. Let's have a big unpacking party. Unpacking meaning like our emotions. We're not going to talk about Trey. And Carrie's like, how does everyone feel about roof chicken?
And so then Carrie goes to the animal hospital. And
across the street from her.
And this nice woman's like, hi. And Carrie's like, I look over the chicken roof. And the crowing is, and she's like, they're not the chickens. The woman is like, they're roosters. It's like, bitch.
That's the point. Her point is, yes, you have something crowing up there. She said, I'm so sorry. We just got them rescued from a cockfight in the Bronx.
So Carrie's supposed to feel guilty about the roosters.
And then the woman's like, I'll have them move to the basement. And Carrie's like, oh, no. They just had all that fight trauma. They need fresh air. I don't want them to be miserable.
Because Carrie's really cute.
She is. And also, like, that's the right thing to do and say, you know? But still, I feel like there have to be, like, noise ordinances and shit.
Yeah. It feels weird.
So she takes
A card.
A vet card, like one of the, with all their information says, for a friend.
Because Miranda does have a cat named Fatty.
I love Miranda.
I love Miranda so much.
And I love her cat.
This episode is when the, like, I've seen this episode so many times, but it feels like this is why I think I'm a Miranda.
Oh, yeah. So she goes into the fridge and gets a bunch of Chinese leftovers, looks at them, and is like, ugh, no, gross, no. There's like
three boxes.
Yeah, three and boxes of that. I was just going to say Vouv in the like nice champagne in the fridge. I just love that that's what her.
So Miranda speed dials the Shanghai Garden.
Yep, she sure fucking does.
She orders takeout. She gives her address. And so Carrie lives on the east side, but Miranda lives.
It's on the west side.
Oh, no, Carrie lives in the west. No, she lives on the upper east side.
Yeah.
Miranda lives.
West side.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of like details about them that I can't believe it's taken till the end of season three to get.
So Miranda's like, gives the address and the woman on the phone in a very offensive
stereotype of Chinese
accent is like, oh, brown rice, chicken with broccoli, cold noodles again, like every night and like laughs at her. And Miranda's like, yeah, no, what? Never mind. And like, she hangs up.
Which also, I love her, but I want her to get something, like, marginally more interesting.
And Miranda?
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Oh, okay, I'm ready.
Everybody gets exponentially more interesting.
I'm so excited. I feel like the show's about to, like, explode in ways I'm very excited for. Carrie's wearing a pink, ruffled,
it's horrible. It looks like Pepto-Bismol with texture.
Shirt thing. Miranda's wearing a not very flattering strapless red dress.
And she's,
why do they insist on dressing
her in red?
She does
look like she's wearing an Invisalign.
She does. I don't know what's going on. And I looked it up because I was curious. The braces she wore were a prosthetic. So those definitely weren't real, but clearly something's happening with her mouth.
Or maybe they're just sticking to the bit.
Maybe.
Maybe Miranda has an Invisalign.
It did say on the thing I looked up, like, she didn't have them in the next episode. And I was like, yes, I sure did notice that.
So Miranda, anyway.
Miranda's basically just like upset.
She's in a rut. She's like, I'm in a rut. I ordered from the same place.
It's easier than figuring anything else out.
where else to go? And Carrie's like, why don't you just order from a different Chinese
place?
Let's
go to that restaurant that has fresh lime margaritas behind them.
Okay.
You want to go now?
1, 2, 3. Whoa.
Oh, they're dogs.
So, yes. And with the, so basically,
where my priorities are.
Carrie's like, you could order from any of the Chinese restaurants. And for some reason, Miranda is not. Yeah. And so then with the dogs that Bridget is so excited are Steve and Aiden.
Two boyfriends, one for each of them, two ex-boyfriends.
And like,
what are they doing
together? Friends?
Carrie says, are they friends now? And Miranda's like, apparently this is bad. What do you think they're talking about?
And they're like, their dogs?
Yeah. Here's their dog conversation. How's your dog? Good. How's yours? Good. What was that? Those two bitches who ruined our lives?
And then Carrie's like, they insist that they didn't see them. And so they're like, this is like a real panic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Just like seeing your ex-boyfriend by surprise is like always the worst. But like imagine two for the price of one.
Yeah, that's something I've thought about a lot.
Oh, well, it happened to me literally like a couple months ago when I went to go see that play.
Yeah, yep, yep.
I'm going to see a play by myself on Thursday.
Let's see if it's really by yourself again. They're hiding in this doorway, like trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do. And they're like, okay, they're going to see us. How do we look? Great. It's a lie. Carrie's wearing painted jeans. And
they look horrible.
They both look bad. Although they're both extraordinarily beautiful.
Steve's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
The thing is, they really could get away with it if they wanted to walk the other direction, I think. But they choose not to, and they
look at Carrie's like swagger. Aiden has a horrible goatee.
It's horrible, and his hair is the wrong length. And he turns like right away as if he expects them.
And it feels like, by the way they're interacting and from my memory, that Steve and Miranda had a much more amicable breakup than Aiden and Carrie.
It does seem that way. I also think theirs is slightly longer ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's been like a little bit more time. Carrie also is like directly culpable for what happened with hers.
Yeah.
And Miranda's like not really responsible for hers. So there's just different, there are different kinds of breakups, and also you know?
This dog that Steve has is the puppy they got together.
And it's so cute. It's so fucking cute. She's like, you must be very proud. And they're both drinking two beers.
And Carrie makes a like snarky little comment about like getting two beers. And then Jessica and Susan, the like two most basic, no offense to my friend Susan, I love you very much. But like
names, yeah.
Jessica and Susan are just like two names.
One of them is like blonde Miranda and the other one is brown haired Carrie.
Oh man, I didn't even clock that.
Like that's exactly what they
look
like.
And it's interesting because like Carrie just like tightens a little bit. You can see that Miranda's sad.
Yeah. They both kind of are. Well, it's an interesting moment because Aiden's like, actually, yeah, these aren't for us. And then the girls appear and it's Carrie and Miranda try and leave and walk into each other in opposite directions. And then Carrie has to like go back and pull her away. And Steve looks so cute and good.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's taken some time and grown up a little since he saw Miranda.
I think that maybe he has.
Wow, that gives me such hope.
Yeah, put that thing you put in your mouth by your eye.
I'm going to do that. All over it. Good call. This is such a good medium when none of the people listening can see what we're doing or what we're seeing.
Should we have a vlog component of Splat?
Yes,
if you'd like to see more content, visual content from Brooke, I'm Brooke.
Yep, that's you.
From Bridget and me, Brooke.
Let us know and we'll make that happen.
We'll
for
send you.
You
little videos, maybe.
We'll make use of our story more. It's fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you follow us on Instagram at Splat Podcast?
Wow, what a convenient question.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. We're asking really important questions of our listening base.
So they're unpacking and having their little unpacking party. I love that they just like make martinis. We should make martinis.
I know, it's really fun. And this is the difference, I think, between hanging out and having a night in when you're 20 and opening a bottle of wine and then when you're 30 and you make each other martinis. So they're having their unpacking night, which is both unpacking emotionally, but also, also Charlotte is literally moving back into her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're helping her set things up. And
they're talking about like how they ruminate about past relationships. And Carrie's like, I don't think I obsess about my past.
And Miranda like whips her head up from the floor and is like, you don't do what?
And they all are kind of like, what are you talking about?
And they're like, well, okay, big was tricky. That was a big one.
Samantha says, you look back so much, you might as well have a relationship rear view mirror.
And Carrie's like, I didn't obsess about Aiden. I moved on. And Aiden didn't obsess. Clearly he's moved on. Miranda's like, it's easier for men.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratio of women to men in this city is huge, meaning, you know, women who want involved relationships.
And then they just have
men.
Jessica and Susan's come to them. And then Carrie says, and I really love this, and yeah. I want to pause it because Carrie says, well, maybe we only obsess over relationships that feel unfinished.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like,
it's one thing when you are broken up with or break up with someone and it's in a way and such you.
Something bad happens and you break up. And honestly, I.
Or it's just so clear that like you can't be together after what's happened.
And that you can't be friends even.
Yeah. I think in some ways that's a lot easier. Yeah, it sucks in the moment of like processing it as any breakup, but.
It feels like the end of a book. Mm-hmm. But when something feels like the end of a chapter and there's a bookmark and you just have to put the book back up on a shelf.
It's fucking way, hard.
Yeah, it's really hard and it's way easier to like think about at like all the minutia of your relationship and like what led you to make the decision.
Yep.
Most of my breakups have been that.
Yeah.
That more so than the other.
And I think kind of, I mean, I kind of think closure's a myth, but what I do think is that like carries onto a real nugget here that it's like, it's so much harder to let go of something when it feels unfinished to you.
Closure feels so finite to me. It's these moments when I'm like, okay, I'm a Carrie.
Right. You've had a big I'm a Miranda moment this episode and a big I'm a Carrie moment.
This episode is why I think I am a Carrie Miranda, and I will unpack that more later.
Yeah, definitely interested.
Oh, what I forgot to say also was this Miranda Chinese restaurant debacle with the woman laughing at her.
Yes.
Is why I'd like to take a moment to thank the gods for Seamless.
Oh, yeah. When there are different delivery men.
Different delivery people.
Delivery people, yep.
Yeah. I'm just bless up for Seamless.
Yeah, you don't have to call and talk to someone about your shame. Yeah. I feel that.
Because Charlotte is also in a relationship that feels unfinished.
For very obvious reasons, because they took a really significant step and then didn't fulfill any of whatever
and
expectations
Charlotte goes,
of that were.
Ugh, I wish there were no men.
And Samantha goes, oh God, call someone. She's gone insane.
If there were no men, then we wouldn't be hurt and we wouldn't be disappointed. And I was like, oh, this gives men so much power over all of our emotions.
It's true, but we do that.
Oh yeah, we
give.
Do.
As well, when you're interested in men romantically, I mean, that's part of how this equation is set up. It's an expectation.
Yeah.
And they are socially trained on the other side to expect that too. You know?
Yeah. So Carrie's thinking and wondering about men and women and how women feel men, disappointment in relationships. And then an earth-shattering thought
popped into my head. What if everything isn't the man's fault?
After a certain age and a certain number of relationships, if it still isn't working and the exes seem to be moving on and we don't, perhaps the problem isn't the last boyfriend, but...
Or the one before him, or even the one before him.
But me. Or you.
Or, yeah, us, I guess, as the watchers.
Horror of horrors. Is it us?
Well, this is an interesting... It's a little bit disingenuous for Carrie to ask, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Because what it does is what this show does, which is reduce things to being pretty black and white.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Carrie, you knew sometimes it's not the man's fault. Like, your relationship ended with Aiden for a very specific reason, and that was very obviously you.
And, well, Natasha and Big.
Like, when it comes down to people being shitty in relationships, like, men and women do that. When it comes to the big picture of, like, structural power and expectations and the way we're, like, trained, she's right, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, it feels disingenuous from her as, like,
oh, yeah.
What are you talking about, Carrie? You knew that. You knew you were just as capable of fucking something up as Big was, or...
Yeah. I like that... The up my ass players is what she calls them. And they make a lot of funny jokes. We're in the middle of their late night rep. Much ado about up my ass. And Long Day's Journey up my ass really killed me.
Yeah, it's
like,
really
I don't
funny.
Like the context, but Long Day's Journey up my ass is like a really excellent,
it's well done.
Joke.
So Samantha's being kept up again by the people outside of her window. And she puts on her gold coat and decides if she's ever going to, you know, she's like meeting them on their level. And she decides she'd have to test just how effective a PR campaign can be. She's like, ladies, hello. And they go, motherfucker.
And so basically she's like, I live up there with an earshot. And you know what? Okay. The way that she's talking to these women who are, for all intents and purposes, in drag.
Yeah, basically. And the implication is they are sex workers.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But she's talking to them like she's addressing them as women. She's not being slurry or rude to them. She's just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And the thing is, we know she has been using slurs and rude about them, but she does at least approach them.
And then she introduces herself to them.
Well, and part of what she does is she's saying it. It's a PR campaign, you know? You want to look nice and relate to someone and get them to be on your level. And she's trying to meet them on whatever.
And they're like, we're so sorry. will be leave. And there's a lot of this in this episode where they're like, oh, Miss Thang, like your shoes. And then she does like a snap and sort of mm-hmm. a layout. And then Samantha kind of mimics it. And I'm like, it made me uncomfy.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is super uncomfy. There's no question about the plopability of this episode.
Yeah. So Carrie wakes up to the phone ringing and she answers. And guess who it is?
Rough Knight.
It's me, Mr. Big.
He doesn't even introduce himself, of course. Also, it's funny because she answers the phone without, like, she has an eye mask on and she doesn't pull it up until he says, it's me. So she's just in bed talking with an eye mask on.
He can't say his name.
Oh, right.
Do you know it?
No.
Okay.
No. I forgot that, which is right. He doesn't say, it's Mr. Big, but he does say, it's me. And that's when Carrie pulls her eye mask off, which is just really funny.
But it's like, he has a very recognizable voice. Yeah. And she like makes a joke about the chickens
and the stuff going on in her life.
And he's like, I painted my wall red.
This is interesting. And in terms of how this episode is structured, it's very smart for the watchers because Carrie has already run into an ex-boyfriend this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you off guard for the big stuff.
The big stuff.
Okay.
He's painting his wall red and immediately.
And by
like,
he's painting, he means he's hired people.
Yes. He is getting it painted. And immediately their banter's back and he tells her about Natasha and that
he ended it
she left.
Right. And she says, I heard. And he says, how? And she's like, oh, I think it was on the news.
Yeah. And so they're just like quipping. And then he asks just straight up, can we have lunch sometime? And Carrie.
He says, I really need to talk to you.
And she's thinking about it and it's hard. And she asks where.
I think this is one of those for Carrie where it's like she'd like to be the person who says no, but obviously this is unfinished for her.
And he gives her a place and he says a time and she does this thing where she nods yes and he's like, Carrie? And she's like, I'm nodding. And so they hang up.
Which is really cute.
And like you can see the weight of it.
Yeah. She's so overwhelmed by all of it and him. And she goes shopping.
With Miranda.
To like a funny vintage store. They're trying on really like kitschy things.
It's a thrift store, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like talking and Miranda invites Carrie to do something on Saturday afternoon, which is when she's agreed to have lunch with Big.
And
she's like, she's like, I have work. And then immediately is like, I don't have work. I'm having lunch with Big. Thank God.
Yeah. It's a good feeling. And Miranda's of course like, what?
She's like, I'm meeting Big for lunch and I didn't think you'd approve. And Miranda's like, of course I don't approve.
She said he sounded upset and he needed to talk. And Miranda goes, since when does Big talk? Carrie says, what does that mean? And Miranda's like, does the silent I'm your best thing friend thing, and you know very well what I mean.
She's like, he's upset about Natasha. And Miranda's kind of like, really goes in and is like, listen, if this happens, I'm not holding your hand through this again. Like, it's a big mistake.
This is so relevant. I literally had a conversation with our friend Sam about this today where she was like, I talked to a friend of ours once who was cheated on. They broke up. And when he told me that he was going to see her again, I sat him down and I was like, you don't need my permission, but I know you're sitting here asking me what I think you should do. And what I think is I need you to explain to me how she's changed, what you think is different. Like, Miranda's just doing that. She's just being like, and if this happens again, I will not be sympathetic. I mean, I will, but I won't, you know? It's like she just doesn't want Carrie to set her up.
And she means it. She's like,
if you set yourself up for the same idiotic thing again.
She's like, I'm not going to deal with it. Carrie gets defensive and makes it about Steve. Am I going to cut you out of my life if you get back together with Steve or you have lunch with Steve? And then she goes out and cares. She's like, you write people off. You're so judgmental. All of this really mean. They're being very mean to each other.
There's a lot of big, hard fighting. Feelings. Yeah, they are. But I understand Carrie's impulsive defensiveness.
It's really interesting because I don't really have this relationship with anybody. Like, I'm not a fighter. I'm just
not either.
Confrontational.
Oh, my God. No.
And, like, I've never...
I am so far.
I'm such a like more of a talk it outer that like I don't think I would ever get to this point.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not friends with people. Like I have one person in my life who's like a little like Miranda, but even with her, we don't behave like this.
No, I don't have any friendships that operate or really have fights.
I just hate fighting
them. Yeah. No, I get that. I totally do. Also, is this episode longer?
It's 35 minutes.
Is that what they've all been?
They're between like 28 and 35.
I can never
35.
Keep track. I know. I guess they didn't.
It is a season finale, though.
Right. Which is why I thought it might be.
Miranda storms out, and then she's like,
says,
"Walk away."
Perfect. Walk away. It's all my fault.
She's also like, Miranda, you never accept culpability for anything.
Which is interesting.
And this is their first big fight, says Carrie. And they've been friends for a while.
Which is, I guess it makes sense because it's like, it's not the standard for them, you know? No wonder we haven't had real relationships that involve this because, like, they don't really work this way either.
Yeah.
And Carrie says she thought by the time she got home that Miranda would have called to apologize.
And but it's sad.
Of course, that hasn't happened.
And so she was going to call her and then...
She wasn't sure what to say.
It's just, like, hard.
She's also wearing a really beautiful, like... soft bluey purple shirt that she it's looks not a beautiful in. Shirt no but she looks so good just all of it and Miranda so, does the same
no Miranda is dreading calling the Chinese restaurant
oh yeah
and so the woman
picks up Shanghai Garden how can same I help thing you?
She starts to give the address and then this woman like does the same exact thing where she says the order and she laughs at her.
Yeah, she gives the order. She tells Miranda she knows what the order is, and she laughs at her.
And she
Miranda,
goes, never mind. And then she goes and storms into the restaurant
she
to,
can't
like,
get the giggle
confront
out of her head.
This woman. And then the woman is on the phone, and she basically giggles to another customer. And she, like, recognizes the same address, and it's, like, it's this woman. It's not about Miranda.
Yeah,
at all.
She recognizes this is just how this woman's going to react, and that she, you know, does this and sits there all day, and she knows who these people are. And basically, it's also a moment for Miranda to be like, wow, I stereotyped someone really hard over the phone and misunderstood the sort of situation.
And so we realize that the reason why she likes this Chinese restaurant is not because of the cold sesame noodles. It's because Steve
is there. And indeed, he is literally there blowing on his noodles. Soup, you're right. Miranda goes over and sits down.
He's so cute.
He's very cute.
And he's so sweet. He's like twice in one.
Genuinely happy to see her.
Twice in one week. Am I lucky or what?
I like the hot and sour soup. You here by yourself? She says, mm-hmm. And he is too. And so she sits down.
Whole bowl of crunchies. He's just so simple. I love Steve.
He's really cute. And he's clearly like so happy to see her.
And he asks how she is. And
she says, oh, not good. Carrie and I had a huge fight. It's also, this is a really interesting thing, is like seeing someone who is an ex or that things are complicated with, but where you want to share, you can share big things with them because they have the context of your life still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they, like, know you really well and are, like, really good at, like, talking you. They just understand you. This happened to me recently as well.
Yep.
Where I just, like.
These are all things I'm anticipating.
What?
I just said these are all things I'm anticipating.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. It's so fun.
The running into people.
It's going to happen. It's going to be okay. But, I don't know. Just, like, that intimacy with someone that you have. And especially when it's, like, an amicable.
Yeah. Where it was hard and shitty in the moment. And Steve, like, did not meet her on any level. She needed him to. But it wasn't, like, a terrible. You know, there was no cheating. There was no.
Yeah. And she admits that the fight was about, like, him and how she's judgmental. And that sort of was how they broke up. Yeah, and she's like, how bad was it? And he's like, not great.
And she says, I didn't throw you away, did I? And he says, no.
And Carrie's like, and Miranda's like, that's what Carrie said I did. And Steve says this really, really beautiful thing that says, Miranda, no one knows, only you and I knows what happened between you and I.
Like, we are the only people who will ever really know what went down and what we felt. And it's true.
It's true because, like, especially with friends and, like, emotional, like, things, it's, like, it's really hard. And, like, people are going to, like, project their own shit onto your situation, and every relationship and every like friendship or romantic or otherwise is unique to those two people. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't explain a feeling.
No.
Like, you can to an extent.
Right.
But like, unless someone is sharing in the feeling.
Yeah.
Like, and you have like one of those moments.
They don't have the full.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't.
And it's hard to be able to, it's hard after like, with something like this.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. Like, last week we were both talking about how, how galvanized we are by how, like, shitty and hard things have been and how amazing all of our friends have been.
Yeah.
But I also, it's like, I simultaneously have had this realization that, like, by no stretch of the imagination am I alone. In fact, I'm surrounded by love and support. But there are some things that are just lonely things you go through yourself.
Of course.
You know, fundamentally.
Sometimes I have to force myself to to go to a person, even though I'm like, because like, I don't know. It's just you said everything.
Yeah.
And, but also, yes, but I feel like you've struggled with when you're like, because of a specific situation. And I feel like this happens more with romantic, and I've been there too, that you don't want to talk about it because you know that your friend's going to judge you for it.
Oh yeah. I that's been like something I've had a complex about for literal years where
I know.
That I was really hesitant to talk to friends who I knew felt a certain way about certain things because I was like, I feel like I'm giving you ammo for a relationship you already misunderstand.
That's how I felt for a lot, for like a year and a half.
And this is partially why you and I became the friends we became because we were like, oh, I see you and I actually understand 100%. They're different situations, but like, I don't think anyone else gets. And to this moment with like the stuff I'm dealing with right now, like I think you are still the person who understands the most like nuance and complicated. Like, you get it.
I've had my share of complicated relationships.
You fucking have, babe. Yeah. Also, Brooke keeps pausing Steve's, like, cute-ass little funny face.
He's
on
such
very
a derpy.
Derpy.
He looks like something so specific
he
right
does,
now.
He does, and like a troll doll or something, and I can't figure it out.
It's a troll doll, but it's a little squishier than a troll doll.
Exactly. It's something about the expression he's making and the way it makes all of his, like, like features squishy. It's cute. So they're having a really nice conversation.
And
it's okay. I was going to say the waitress comes over and is like, do you want to order?
And she starts to give her order and then is like, no, I'm going to try something new. And it's like, wow, there's so much on this menu. What a beautiful metaphor.
Of course there are. I mean, it's the same reason that like I go to a Thai restaurant and get pad Thai or pad see ew every time where I'm like, I know I would love the rest of this, but I just want pad Thai.
So Samantha's having sex and that's really.
That's all.
All you need to know about Samantha. The girls are back outside yelling and she's
three
like
three nights in a row. She's
and
like, I'm
Carrie
sorry, I'm
narrates and is like, Samantha could handle not being able to sleep, but not being able to orgasm. That's where she drew the line.
Yep.
And the guy's like, come on, baby, be here with me. I'm close. And she's like, I'm not fucking close.
And then she walks the wrong long way around her bed to go to the window. It's very strange. And she sticks her head out the window and all of her like nice attitude is gone. And she's just yelling.
And she's like, I called the fucking cops. And they're like.
Well, she does say while she's fucking him, too. She's like, I called the cops. Like, they should have been here a half hour ago. She is not messing around. And now she's frantically trying to.
She fills a pot with water. She's moving in, like, fast motion. Is that because I'm. Oh, I am.
Well, you are fast forwarding.
I was like, wow. She's
but she is
so
moving
quickly.
Very fast.
And she dumps water on this queen.
And, like, so, you know, her dress is, or her wig falls off and is
also,
she's
just
soaking
like this,
wet. And
the way that they're portraying the way that these so-called transsexuals are dressed is just, like.
It's insulting.
And I don't know if that's just, like, early 2000s, right. Like, the way that people dress.
Like, mini skirts and stuff. But they're, it's so
but it's
tacky
just, like,
and
the
ugly.
Wigs
and if there's
are
one thing we know about, like, the drag community, for example, which doesn't represent all of this, that is the opposite. And if it's tacky, it's intentionally and beautifully done tacky. And then, of course, the cops show up and are like, move it along, girls. And Samantha is fucking giddy.
Because it's fucking, I mean, like, it's not funny, but she just, like, threw a fucking pot of water on someone.
She got what she wanted.
And then her
guy who's wearing insanely
high-waisted
trouser pants.
What's the thing that you call them when you're a hooker? They're super high-waisted. Or, like, a prostitute, the Joe, is that what it's called?
Oh, like.
The man you go to meet?
Oh.
Isn't it a Joe?
Are you thinking of a John?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
A John.
Yeah.
Is it because John also means penis?
Maybe, but I think what it is the idea is you're just anonymous. It's just like
oh, like John Doe.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it. So then we cut to Charlotte, who we haven't seen in a while, and she's just
reading
the Dalai
Lama's book.
And Trey shows up.
And he's like, Charlotte, it's me.
And for all intents and purposes, this is really uninteresting. He's basically like, I can't stop thinking about you, and they have sex.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you fucking kidding
me,
Trey?
That's what it took was for her to be unavailable to you. And of course, Charlotte's like, yes, wow, wonderful. But it's like, dude, this won't solve any of your
problems.
Well,
because all she's wanted is to have sex with Trey.
Also, he is just really doing a huge disservice to Obama's beautiful tan suit. He can't pull it off. Crosstown, Carrie is tossing
and
turning in bed.
Can't sleep because of the roosters.
And because she's obsessing about relationships.
So she
calls
the
animal
hospital.
Yep. She's like bra out, like sleepy.
She's like, please move him into the basement. Thanks. I mean, it's – and then – okay. So Charlotte – oh, he says alrighty. I hate that he says alrighty.
He does all the time. So they're now fully clothed. He has his shoes on again, and they're on the floor of Charlotte's apartment, I guess post-coitus, which is the least sexual – sex we've seen from anyone on this entire show.
We haven't seen any sex from them.
Sorry, I mean in terms of like what they show us, like they make out in a hallway and that's it, you know.
Yeah. And you know, he's like, I haven't wanted to have sex with you since we were engaged. And you know what, honestly, it's kind of because probably she tricked him into getting engaged, but
really soon.
She's like, you didn't really want to marry me. And he's like, no.
I think it may have had something to do with the fact that I maybe didn't want to get married to anybody.
Like, wouldn't this be amazing if Trey came out to her?
Yeah.
That's
wouldn't
what would
also
happen?
Be amazing if he'd been big enough and gracious enough to tell her before and not forced her to live in this reality with him and then ripped it out from under her.
I think in 2018, Trey is gay.
I think he would probably be, yeah.
Yeah.
And Charlotte, honestly, is handling it pretty well. She's like, because here's the other thing, too. He's being honest with her.
And he's like, honestly, I married you because I knew I would never find anyone as good as you to marry. And, of course, that's exactly what Charlotte wants to hear. So, presumably, they're back together.
Yeah, and exactly. And then there's banging on Samantha's door. So, she wakes up now in the middle of the night. And she's like, hang on, what is happening? And it's also like, how did someone, you know, the sex workers are egging her window and she stupidly opens the window.
He may have come back a pre-op transsexual hooker, but he came back full of eggs is the bit.
Right.
Which it's is a, again.
Yep.
And Samantha goes, she realized this is one relationship with a woman she couldn't walk away from. And then they say something really, really not okay about another half man, half woman.
Yeah. And this show had so much work to do.
So much work to do. And so and Carrie calls
Miranda from a payphone. And Miranda's like, I was just about to call you.
And they apologize. And Carrie's like, I'm hiding outside the restaurant with Big in the bushes. Please don't do you think I'm pathetic? And Miranda's like, no.
And she, yeah, it's very sweet. And Carrie's like, I know you think it's a huge mistake, but I feel like I have to do it to move on or something.
Okay. When so Miranda, I forced myself to get lunch with my ex like a year and a half ago. Do you remember this?
Yes, I sure do.
And I hated every minute of it. And it was, I was like, I was so anxious before. And afterwards, I felt like my spirit had left it like a.
Left the building, baby. Yeah, just the life jacket was off. You were floating away.
Yeah, I was just like, I felt like. And like his soul left mine.
Yes.
It was great. So I'm honestly team Carrie. She looks amazing.
The question is, will she actually be able to do that?
Which
obviously we will see. She does look really good. This is the first good outfit they've put her in this time.
And Miranda
also is like, you know what? Don't listen to me.
Oh, yeah.
You need to follow your gut.
Mm-hmm. And she Carrie asks.
You know the risks.
Carrie asks any last minute advice and Miranda says, don't let him kiss you.
That seems to be where you get into trouble.
Mm-hmm. Which is like amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
She looks gorgeous.
Yep. She really does.
She has this like way that she walks.
Yes.
And they like laser in on each other. She lasers in on him and he's like standing
by
the water.
They're outside. Yeah. It's on the water. It's gorgeous. It's open.
The boathouse in Central Park.
And she's like, hello, you. And he's so pleased to see her. And immediately, like, instead of being like awkward or anxious, they big smiles, says like, it's good to see you, and makes some significant eyebrows at her.
And so he goes to kiss her, and they fall in the
pond. I think I've seen
that,
but oh my God. He goes to kiss her, and she pulls away out of instinct, and they both fall in the water.
And then they're laughing, and it's so funny.
It's so cute.
It's really, really cute. And they ask, and she goes,
and then she's like, my hair was in the duck pond.
My Christian Dior. She goes, where's my Christian Dior purse? And he dives in to get it. But I'm like, why can't Carrie just be like, where's my purse?
Yeah.
Like, why does she have to say the label? Like, my Louboutin shoes. Yeah. Like, we get it. Like, you have
she
nice
She has
things.
Brands to maintain.
Like, why?
Her personal brand, her, yeah, all of
so
it.
So they go back to Big's apartment to shower, which, like,
okay.
And, yeah. And
now they're in bathrobes on his bed.
And his red wall.
And his change of a wall.
And they're like poking fun at each other and it's sweet. And she was like, I told myself I would never be in this apartment again. And Big was like, you told me to take you to the nearest shower. Those were your words.
And he did.
And so he did. And
they're making significant eyes at each other.
And she's like, this is a really red wall. You're right.
It is extremely red. It's like red. It's like fake cherry red.
It's bad, but it's nice.
If you needed a change, I could have helped him with some like in between colors.
And so Big asks Carrie.
He also looks like young and like.
He's hot.
Yeah.
And he asks her, was it all my fault?
Wow. It's almost like he knew what her column was about this week.
Or it's also like.
He's been thinking about this.
They're very similar.
Yeah. He's also been obsessing, clearly, because this is unfinished.
See,
for
but
him
it's like
too.
Scenes like this that are why we love Big.
Yeah. Fair. You're lumping me in, but I'll take it.
And they're like, why I love Big. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, we really fucked up there. What happened? She's like, I don't know.
And then he like leans in
and
he's
like
very close to her.
Damn, I thought you'd have all the answers.
Yep.
And it's really sweet.
And she's like, kind of, well, like, how has your thing been? And he said, he's like, well, I feel like I've been through a war, but okay. And she says, well, we're war buddies in Calvin Klein robes. Because in the same way that Steve is like, no one knows what we've really been through, Carrie is now with the one person who knows what she's really been through in all of this with Big. And it's Big.
And he's like, you know, I kind of like living alone. And she's like, you fucking idiot.
Of course you do. I forgot to tell you, my friend Leary texted me the other morning, like all caps, and was like, she was with her husband. She was like, we just saw Mr. Big. She's like, he's enormous, which I've also heard from my sister.
He's very big.
Yeah.
And so Carrie's like, I should go. And he's like, what, you don't want to stay a while? And she says this really famous quote that says, sweet, she calls him sweet friend, which I really love.
I do too. She goes, says, you and I are like that red wall.
It's a good idea in theory, but somehow it doesn't quite work.
And he's kind of like, whew, okay, you might be right, but he smiles at her.
And he smirks at her. And Carrie, and this is the closure Carrie needed.
And she says, just like that, I realized we weren't an us anymore.
We became something else, and I don't know what it was, and I have no idea.
I feel that, though. She's like,
it's like, this is so, I have a Mr. Big.
Yes.
And this is, yes, and our relationship, not like immediately, and like no one's ever cheated on anybody with anything, and like right. Nobody caused anybody to, well, nobody.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Nobody. Yeah. Oh, this is amazing.
But I think it's a much healthier relationship, I hope.
Yeah.
But so Carrie
goes home in one of Mr. Big's shirts, not even a long one, belted around her waist.
It's like she's doing like slutty Elaine Stritch.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But it was like your vagina was out on the street. It is. It is, and it was.
And so she has.
She goes home, and Miranda's like, "Hey, it's me. I'm just wondering how it all went. On the message machine, call me when you get home."
And Carrie looks out her window, and the roosters are gone.
And that's all it took was actually being assertive, and they're gone.
She asked for what she wanted.
Yep.
And she got it.
Yeah. And she followed her gut instinct, and she got sort of what she wanted and needed there too, at least, you know, for the time being.
But I hoped it wasn't in the Bronx, and I hoped that they were happy.
Yeah.
So now, and then Samantha, to apologize, throws a party on the roof.
And invites all of the sex workers. Oh my God, that's what all these gifts of her in this outfit with the hot dogs are from.
Uh-huh. She goes, who wants a wiener? And the girl goes, I'm trying to get rid of one.
And it's
a kiss and makeup party for the up my ass players and their friends, which is very sweet.
It's lovely. And, you know, I'm glad that they at least buttoned this story with something other than Samantha throwing water on them.
Yeah. And Charlotte is like, Trey's called me 3 times this week. Like, he really wants to get back together, but I don't know. And she's like, oops, I'm obsessing. Yeah. And this is so cute. They're like flirtinis. We're drinking flirtinis. This is very younger.
Yes.
And Samantha goes, I'm past a flirtini. I need a fuckini.
Watch your language. There's ladies present. But this is not nearly so insufferable. And
no, this is bad.
Bigoted. And oh,
so she's got flower.
Oh, no, this part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's really bad.
Oh, no.
So Sarah Jessica Parker is doing like a bad like accent that is imitating the transsexuals. Who are the workers who are. And they're like, give us a twirl. And she's like, it's really bad. I like can't even imitate her imitation. And it's like they're like obviously having fun, and it's like there's no malintent intended. But watching it right now as me, I'm like, this is so uncomfortable.
Yeah. 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 And they're all having the time of their life laughing about it.
And like everybody is.
Yeah. But this particular plot line was basically just an excuse to be bigoted and awful.
Yes. Bigoted and awful.
I love Miranda's really awkward dancing in the corner of the screen as they pan over to the New York City skyline.
And that's the end of season 3.
Remarkable.
Remarkable.
We got here.
We
Who did you vibe with? As if I have no idea.
Okay. I was thinking about this all day today.
Yep.
I obviously resonated with Carrie and Miranda. Mm-hmm. And I resonated with Miranda because I love ordering in dinner. And like that side of Miranda and is very close to me. Okay, and here's what I say. I am 80-20 Carrie Miranda. Mm-hmm. I am Carrie in that I am emotional, mm-hmm, and dramatic, mm-hmm, and I go into mind spirals in the same way that she does. But I'm also like Carrie in that I am a good, kind, mm-hmm, caring,
true
friend.
All of that is true, yep.
Carrie's a really, really good friend.
She is. And I like that their friendships are not always easy and smooth sailing.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I am not, I think the things that make me a tolerable human being are the Mirandas that is intrinsically a part of me.
Oh, interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
That calls out my own Carrie.
Right.
That makes me this hybrid.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just the exact right balance between the two of them. Not an even split, but it's like.
Yeah.
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 A lot from Colin Carrie, a little from Colin Miranda, and you got it, Brooke.
And that's me. What about you?
Everyone but Samantha, I had a little bit of resonating with.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of, it's just a lot of, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a potent episode in a lot of ways and relevant to my life in a lot of ways.
I got a text from a fan of the pod. A
friend of the pod. Weird name spelling, all I'll say about that.
With our intro. And you did, in fact, send me that text during recording. So you're welcome. Thank you.
Well done.
We appreciate
you
it.
You made it in for recording.
Probability zero.
Zero.
I think all the relationships are probable. Probable, but
In terms of would this episode ever be on TV in 2018?
100% no. Samantha's plot line is no, no.
Yeah, and the way it's all it's just a plot device for terribleness. Basically.
Terrible, terribleness.
Yeah, I think you're right though. The relationship stuff is the potent. I mean, that's why people still watch the show because despite the ridiculous parts, they're still very potent.
Like, because I think everybody has a Mr. Big.
Yeah.
On varying levels. No, I don't think any of them are like as bullseye as mine, but.
Yeah, yours is.
It's stupid.
Yeah. You shot an arrow into the target and then Robin Hood split it down the middle.
What else did we talk about?
Delta up, Delta down.
Oh, Delta's up, Delta's down. My Delta up is that I got to see Hillary, who is in town from LA.
I'm so glad you did.
It was really lovely. And my Delta down is that my dog died yesterday.
That's so fucking sad. It's as if you needed anything else to be happening on top of.
Yeah, it really sucked. This month. He was really old and he's fine. I mean, it was time.
Right. Still fucking sad as hell, though.
Yeah, I'm okay. What about you?
My Delta down. I have not slept in about 12 days.
That's true.
And probably still won't for a lot more days. And I had probably one of the worst, weirdest weeks of my life. Mm-hmm. And basically the entirety of it has kind of restructured itself. And I am super overwhelmed. But the Delta up is that... couple of things. One, again, amazing amounts of love and support. Number two, I'm motivated in a completely new and different way to like take care of myself and in significant ways and eat better and cook and go out and see New York and be almost 25 in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly to be 25 in New York.
Yeah,
for real.
Next week.
Yeah, baby, next weekend after this pod comes out. And
so text Bridget and wish her happy birthday on Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
Message her on something.
Hit me up. And the other part of my Delta up is that starting really soon, I'm going to have a lot more interesting and relevant stories to tell on this podcast.
Yeah. So
we are amped
silver
about
lining.
That. Silver fucking lining.
Bridget.
Yes.
Social media, ma'am. Yeah. Are you in there?
I'm here.
How am
I? Oh, I'm here.
If I wanted to wish you a happy birthday on Saturday, how would I? Could I do that?
Well, you should find me in person and tell me board game recommendations and buy me a drink and kiss me on the mouth. But if you don't want to do that, you can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin. And you can find me on Instagram posting more stuff than I've ever posted in my whole life at BridgetM37. Brookethy, where can I find you?
Somewhere over the rainbow.
No way.
On Twitter, you can find me at Brooke_Wiseman. I'm trying to think of a new handle. Bridget and I are going to workshop some stuff.
Yep.
And on Instagram, you can find me at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And I swear to God, if you put an underscore on the Instagram,
you are going to have the entirety of the rest of Mercury Retrograde all to yourself.
And please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Please just like write a quickie review, subscribe.
Or just hit the stars, however many you think we deserve. Thank you for listening. We love you guys. Obsessed with the fact that there are literally people listening to this every day in all parts of the world, which is really crazy to watch. And the last thing I have to say is, I'm a believer.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.